Glad to be here with you all. And how many of you are doing like local church versus campus-based? Who's doing campus-based? Here, two, three, four, and then rest local, doing local church. Cool. Well, so kind of my background a little bit. So again, it's Tommy Seppel, or Texas. I work for the Southern Baptist Texas Convention. So we're only about 25 years old. So we're one of the newest Baptist conventions in the nation. And so with that, about 8 years ago, they asked if I would lead the collegiate work. And because we are have the great privilege of having two state conventions in Texas, which that's a story for another time, their Baptist General Convention, they handle a lot of the campus-based stuff. So we're all local church. And so the only kind of college ministry I know is local church college ministry. And so what I want to do today is really help us build out a framework for local church college ministry that engages the campus and makes disciples. You know, I really believe that the church is plan A, the church is God's manifold wisdom, and I know God raises up folks through the church to send out, and I'm all about let's have as many hooks in the water, let's all work together, because there's plenty of students that need to be reached. And so what I want to do today is just like a broad overview. I think some of this will probably be not enough for you, some of it will probably be a little too much for you, but we can do some questions at the end and kind of dive into whatever you're thinking of. So let me see if I got some. So I love this. Do y'all remember Mad TV?
Yeah.
All right, let me see if I can get some volume here. I want to show you this clip.
Should I lay down?
Oh, no. Don't do it. Okay. Let me tell you a bit about our billing. I charge $5 for the first 5 minutes. And then absolutely nothing after that. How does that sound?
That sounds great. Too good to be true, as a matter of fact.
Well, I can almost guarantee you that our session won't last for 5 minutes. Now, we don't do any insurance billing, so you would either have to pay in cash or by check.
Wow, okay.
And I don't make change.
All right.
Go.
Go.
Well, tell me about the problem that you wish to address. No.
Okay. Well, I have this fear of being buried alive in a box. I start thinking about being buried alive and I begin to panic.
Has anyone ever tried to bury you alive in a box?
No, but truly thinking about it does make my life horrible. I mean, I can't go through tunnels or be in an elevator or in a house, anything boxy.
So what you're saying is you're claustrophobic?
Yes, that's it.
All right, well, let's go, Catherine. I'm going to say two words to you right now. I want you to listen to them very, very carefully. Then I want you to take them out of the office with you and incorporate them into your life.
So I write them down?
Well, if it makes you comfortable, it's just two words. Most people can remember.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay, you're there.
Stop it!
So that's the scene. So my wife's a counselor. This makes this a little bit funnier. But so you have this moment where she comes in and she's got a problem, right? She has a problem being stuffed in a box, buried alive. And so as she's coming in, he's already, before he's even heard her, he's prescripted. He already knows the solution of this, and it's just the two words. to stop it. And of course, it's just kind of funny. But, you know, I show you this video because one of the things I see, the biggest mistake I see in local church college ministry is people not taking into consideration context. In order to treat any kind of problem, you got to know the context. Why are you here? What are you doing? What's underneath? Asking all those questions. Like, you can't actually counsel somebody until you get underneath to get to the root of stuff, right? And when you think about college ministry, it's very similar in that you have to take into consideration context. So often, what happens in a lot of local churches, I'll speak to that, is we'll do a copy and paste type of ministry. That we had a ministry that we had in college, we had a ministry that we saw, or a ministry that we admire, and what we do is we select copy, and then we select paste, and then it doesn't work. And so one of the first things, again, this is a broad overview, I want to give you a framework, but the first thing when it comes to local church college ministry is you have to consider the context, because otherwise you'll just go ahead and prescript a solution that maybe is probably not the best solution, you see? And so here are the three things, the three contexts. Here's the first thing, is know your context. The first thing is campus, is you need to know the context of your campus. You know, you have in Texas, we have probably 200 and something four-year and two-year schools. Those schools are vastly different. Everyone is in a unique city. Everyone's in a unique area. And they're all doing things very differently. And so when you're doing local church college ministry, you have to take into consideration what the context is. Is this a four-year school? Is this a two-year school? Does it have campus life? Does it have residential life? Or does it have a residential population? Or is it commuter? All those different things. So for instance, this is Fort Worth, Texas. So this is my home. You have on the left, this is TCU. And this is TCC, which is Tarrant County College. When you look at both of those colleges, you have probably, I bet you there's, I actually don't know how many at TCC, but you have about 12,000 at TCC. You've probably got five of these campuses littered across the Tarrant County, which is like central Fort Worth. But my church, Travis Avenue, we sit right in the middle of downtown. We minister to both of these schools, but the way that we minister to them is extremely different. Because you have TCU, probably, I'm exaggerating, but probably feels like it costs about $500,000 to go there. It's very affluent. Major D1 program, very white. And our college minister always says, like, with these students, you can't just throw pizza and expect them to come because mom and dad probably own the pizza joint. You know, that's the kind of group you got. And so the way you minister there is very different. But it's also a lot of residential population. You have a lot of housing that's right around the campus, so students are essentially fish in a barrel. I mean, it is Fort Worth. There is a lot of things for them to do, but they're also at the very center of the city, and everything to do is literally right around the campus. And so so it's a little bit different. Where you have Tarrant County College, which they're scattered all throughout the county, but it's a very affordable. You got students there from 18 to 80, and it's usually people are coming there, and they're leaving pretty quickly because they're ready to go on their four-year school. So you guys kind of know how that is. So know your context. Know the school. Know what you're getting yourself into, because it depends on, like, I'll put it this way. Like, if you have a context of doing ministry here, but this is what God's put in your city, that's two different types of ministry. Two totally different types of ministry. It's a different type of student. It's a different type of lifestyle. And so you have to adjust, and we'll get into more of that here in just a minute. I feel like a lot of you guys are doing campus stuff, so some of this is probably pretty elementary to you. But if you want to figure out about your campus, go to their website, go to the About section, find out the demographic information, figure out what degrees are popular, because that's going to help you figure out your student, what kind of student you have, and who your target audience is that you're trying to minister to. I think something that's very highly underrated is prayer walking the campus. You know, so many churches have a college ministry, and very rarely do they ever step foot on the campus. And so I don't know that that's really the best posture to take, but if you can prayer walk the campus, you'll begin to understand the rhythms of the campus and really posture your heart towards it. Because we all know that when you start praying for things, God kind of knits those things on your heart. And so prayer walk the campus, meet with administrators, meet with faculty, ask them ways that you can bless their campus. You know, I've always been surprised that when you take a posture towards the campus of, hey, we just merely want to bless you, sometimes you don't see a reward on that, but sometimes you do. You'd be surprised at the doors that would actually open just because you're wanting to bless the campus and not ask for anything in return. And then the last thing is meet with students. As you're prayer walking, find students you can speak with, find students you can talk to. This is something that's really very different from a campus-based ministry to a church-based, where a church-based leader has to take great intentionality of putting themselves on campus because they just don't live there. It's a great time to connect with your BCM or whatever campus-based ministry you connect with. The next is to know your city. So I was talking with Tommy, and even this is like this in Texas, is there's more students in two-year schools than there is four-year schools. You have more kids that are involved in that commuter-type college than your traditional model of college. And that's why I think it's important for a college ministry is you have to know the lay of your city. You've got to figure out, man, where are young people hanging out? Where are young people working? How can you frequent those spaces so you can get to know them? And really try to get to know, your city. So think about these questions of like, what are the main industries young people are working in? Where are the popular gathering places? Where do students seem to frequent? What are the idols? You know, that's a really good one too. If you figure out where the idols are, you can figure out how to meet the need, meet the spiritual need of the young people. You know, where's the conflict happening in the city? I had a church one time that really engaged a lot of students during, it was a protest, and students were protesting, and so it didn't really matter if they agreed with what they were protesting. They just went out and gave them bottles of water just to let them know, hey, we love you, we want to serve you, and so they gave them those waters. What are the needs of the city? What are the demographics? And then this right here, this is such a undervalued resource, is what kind of churches or ministries are happening in the city. So like, and campus too, like, we don't need to be lone rangers. Like, we need to really connect and network with each other and work together. Because again, we know that the amount of students is just increasing. And we all have to work together to meet that need because we don't have enough ministry. We don't have enough people to meet it. So what are other churches or ministries doing, and how can you partner with them? The last thing is to your church. So this is a really big one where I feel like a lot of things can go sideways. Let me show you what I'm talking about. I've often seen a young college minister or a leader in the church get really passionate about college ministry. Could even be a parent whose kid goes off to college, so they want to take over the ministry, or you have a young person or an older person or a college minister, but they have an idea of what they want this ministry to look like, but it doesn't match the idea of their senior pastor, or it doesn't match the idea of whoever's supervising that ministry. So that's why I say, hey, up front, before you start spinning your wheels, you figure out what does a win look like here, because I'd hate for you to win in your eyes, but not in your senior pastor's eyes. Or I'd hate for you to win in your eyes, but not in your supervisor's eyes. And so figure out, what does a win look like? What does it look like for us to have a succeeding college ministry? And you know what happens here is usually what will happen. Because I had this several years ago. I was had a church that was interested, and they asked me to come on to be their college minister. And so I was like, well, I'll talk to you about it. So we're sitting there talking about it. I was like, what do you want from this ministry? He's like, well, we just want to reach students. We just want to disciple students. Hey, praise the Lord, man. Okay. Well, I know that's not it. You know, so you got to keep asking questions. And then eventually what happened is it came along, and the guy said, well, there's a, y'all familiar with Watermark in Dallas? Mm-hmm. He said, you know, Watermark in Dallas, they got a cool midweek thing going on that has like 3,500 people. He's like, that'd be kind of cool to do that. I'm thinking in my head, I'm not your guy. I'm just not going to be me. So that told me, you know, in the back of his head, that's what he's hoping will happen, which I would hope so too. That'd be amazing. But, you know, that told me that was probably going to be the win. That's probably not going to be me. So figure out, what does a win look like? And then ask like these questions. What has been the church's experience with college ministry? Because, I mean, you guys know, if you're coming in on a staff position, there's fences that have been put up. There's guardrails. There's all these things. You need to figure out why they're there. So figure out what has that experience been, what was great about it, what was not great about it. Because, I'm even working through with my home church right now on a project, and we're talking about starting missional communities out in our community. Well, another guy on staff bucked that so hard. And I was like, that doesn't make sense to me. I mean, we're trying to create missional outposts in the community. We want to mobilize our people to share their faith. And anyways, the church he was at, he just left because of missional communities, and he had a very bad experience with it. So I was like, what is this? What's this pushback for? Well, he had a bad experience. And so I think if you're in the local church, you got to realize that you have a supervisor, you have a lead pastor, and you got to figure out the framework of what do they believe is a win, or the church, whatever leadership team that is, and figure out how you can work within that, or if you can work within that. So I feel like if you could get those three contexts, campus, city, and church, if you can get your understanding, because the thing is you could run out there and you could say, I know this sounds kind of negative, but I just want people to be aware of it. But you could go out there and throw a bunch of Bible studies in dorms and be like, we're winning. And they're like, well, I don't see them on Sunday morning in the pew. Where are they? You know, it's like, well, we're, you know, and that may not be a win for you. That may cost you. So, you know, just be aware of what does that look like? Do you want to work within that? And then figure out what the past has been. So context. Context is king. The second thing is build your team. You got to build a team around you. And so I always say you got to build your team with adults and students. And so I always say there's like two kinds of adults. You have reactive adults and then proactive adults. Reactive adults, I would say, are what they are. They're people that are saying, hey, we want to support the college ministry. We want to invest here. Just let us know what you need. But they're not going to be proactively engaged with it on an ongoing basis or like regular. Whereas you have your proactive, those are people that are going to provide leadership. Hey, they're going to help you teach. They want to help create vision. They want to disciple students. So think of reactive more as this, hey, we want to provide space, hospitality. We want to provide spiritual leadership. And then obviously students, because you can't reach students without students. So those are the three, I would say, folks you need to build your leadership team with. Now, reactive adults, I want to talk about that for just a second. So, I would say, like, when I held a role as a college minister, and I remember going into the church, and there was a couple there that had been there for 20 years. They had always been, like, very hospitable, but I remember going into that church and just really sitting down with them, and man, they just really began to explain to me. I mean, they were there 20 years, so they knew the lay of the land. And so really getting to hang out with them and get to know the ministry, get to know the history of the ministry, get to know what they've liked, what they didn't like. And that was so, so helpful for me just to get an understanding of the landscape of that ministry, what I should and shouldn't do, but also like what their strengths were. And that couple ended up being a great couple, and they couldn't be in the day-to-day of stuff. But what they did do is they had a great house that was a mile from campus. And then on Sunday afternoons, once a month, they would host a lunch. They had a great backyard. And man, all the college ministry would go over there. We'd eat lunch and hang out on the lawn, put out like picnic blankets and stuff. And kids were just eating like everywhere. And that was like really such a fun time. And you got to have adults and churches that can help do that for you, provide that space for you. There's another couple too. There was an elderly couple. This was really great because they were, the elderly couples at our church are so great because they're the only ones that can afford to live close to campus. So they're great for host homes, and they have a great house, great big house, really nice. Even that has some health issues going on, and say, hey, we can't participate a ton, but we can open our door, and literally the students could walk there. And so you got to figure out those adults in your church, because they're going to help provide that space and hospitality that college students are longing for, mostly on a more traditional campus, but even on a non-traditional, you know, your more two-year campus. Because, you know, I've always found that these places of hospitality are such a great entry point for students, because especially students that are gone away from home, because like to get to go somewhere, get a home cooked meal, walk into somewhere that feels like a home and not like a dorm or not like, you know, a house that's being shared by five dudes, you know, like that's really nice. And so those are really important to provide that kind of space. But then you also need your proactive adults, because here's the thing is some folks that go into local church ministry is, because usually sometimes it's younger folks and they're wanting to establish leadership, they're wanting to establish direction, and what they do is they box these folks out. Well, that kills your ministry. That kills your support. And guess who's going to be there after they're gone? These two right here. And so who's carrying that ministry on? These two. And so you can't box those folks out. And so, because I remember I went to another church I was at. It was a guy named Wally. And he had been leading he had been teaching the college. It was like a college kind of career type thing. He had been leading that. He'd been teaching that. And, you know, to be honest, he wasn't totally ideal for it. But I also knew that I wasn't going to be here very long, but he was. And so we have to build that mutual respect of like, hey, let's work together, because that was his passion. That's what he wanted to do. So I'm like, hey, I can't get in the way of that. He's not hurting the ministry, you know, but he was just a 60-something-year-old man teaching. You know, it's not like a ton of charisma. This is like drawing students, but he was the one holding that ministry together, and he still is today. So you got to have those folks that you can come beside you. And then the third is, you know, students. Obviously, you got to have students to reach students. You know, I just always feel like, man, if the ministry and a college ministry always rides on that adult leader, you maybe can get 20, 25 students, probably max, because, yeah, that's probably it. But if you're able to reach students, or if you have a cohort of students that you can raise up and mobilize, man, you can really scale your ministry and you can maximize the amount of students that you can reach. Because, I mean, I know I'm speaking to the choir here, but students reach students. And you guys know that. So build your team. So when you're thinking about, you know, how you're building this team, here are just a couple of things, questions, you know, to ask yourself, because I've always found too that the people that want to lead are not always the people that should lead. And so, you know, figure out what are those characters and qualities you're looking for in that person. And then call people and challenge as far as a challenge of, hey, I see this in you and I would really love for you to invest in our college ministry. So who do you already have a relationship with? Who has a home or a place of meeting close to campus or in that city? Who already displays hospitality in your church? Those are great questions when it comes to more of these reactive leaders. Proactive adults, you know, do they have a proven track record of working well with other leaders in the church? Do they try to dominate? Do they always try to take over? You don't want somebody like that helping you. You don't need somebody that wants to be a parental figure to kids. I mean, you want them to love and care for them, but, you know, for the most part, kids don't need another mom or dad. Do they have the availability? Do they have the character you want to see reproduced in your students? Think about all those things, because essentially we reproduce who we are. And so we want to make sure that the people that we're bringing on have the characteristics and qualities that you're looking for in an adult leader. Lastly, with students. Again, when you're thinking about leaders, I always say that the ones that want to be leaders don't always need to be the leaders. And so figuring out what are those characteristics and those qualities of a young person that you want to be influential in your ministry, that you want other people to look at and see is, hey, that's what we aspire to be. Is there anyone currently in your church that embodies that? You know, who is it? And if you can't name anyone, because there's sometimes you're starting from scratch. And you just got to say, you know, step one for you is just praying, God, would you send me that student? Would you send me that adult leader? Would you send me that person? Because you just feel like you can't drum it up on your own. You can't just create that. And so asking God, Lord, would you send me somebody? And then, you know, figure out what places you should go start, you know, meeting students. I always think a very non-threatening way, if you're in a local church, you don't currently have any students, but you want to start meeting students, I would go into your city and figure out where they work and frequent there. Whether it's a grocery store, get to know them, whether it's a restaurant or a coffee shop, it just all starts with frequenting where they're at and getting to know them, getting to know their name, asking, you know, hey, can I pray for you? You know, if you do have a young people, bring young people with you so they can see that. But begin to put yourself out there so you can get the ball rolling. And that is much harder because you're having to build momentum and you're having to get that ball rolling. It's so much easier if students are doing it, but when you have to be the one doing it to get those initial first few students, that can be feel like kind of tough. Yeah, there's a warning. People who want to lead are rarely your best leaders. You need to search for your best leaders. Create vision. So, you know, in order for you to get people on board that are high caliber, I mean, you feel like are good leaders that are going to make a difference, they're going to be influence other people, is you have to give them vision. If people don't have vision, they perish, you know. So make sure that you create vision. And so here's what, this is a cool exercise we did at Travis, at my home church, is we got our students' leaders together, and we did what we call like a leader vision day. And so essentially we asked, and we gave everybody, they had their own sheet of paper, and we asked this question, what are we good at as a church or ministry? I just want you to write that down. As a church as a whole, but what are we also good at as a college ministry? And I just want you to write that down. So it was like, what advantages do we have? What do we do better than anyone else? What do students see as our strength? And just say, hey, you write that down all by yourself. Don't tell, you're working on this project alone. So what are we weak as a church? You know, for us, the big thing that students kept saying is, can we take Baptist out of our name? Can we take Baptist? I'm like, we're like a 130-year-old church. No, we can't take Baptist out of our name. It's kind of there. So that was one of the things. They're like, oh, well, I feel like that's kind of a barrier. It's like, okay, well, we are Baptist, so we can't shy away from that. So what are we weak at? What can we improve? What should we avoid? What do students see as our weakness? What factors about us help make us lose influence? That was one of the things that students were like, well, I really think because we have a denominational tag, you know, that was kind of their big thing. But what are we weak at? And then what is threatening the health or success of our ministry? So is there something right now that, hey, we could put a stop to that would help us in this moment? You know, do we have any financial or, you know, is there any financial problems? Are there obstacles we face? You know, and think about, you know, internal and external. Like, do we have, you know, this is if you've already have a ministry established, but do you have like cliques or stuff that really people don't feel like they can come in and be welcome because there's kind of all these cliques forming? Is there things like that are happening? So kind of lay that out for them. And the last thing is, what are the opportunities for breakthrough? So like, what are, if you said, hey, if we started doing that, man, our ministry would just skyrocket. Opportunities for breakthrough. So what good opportunities are there? Are there any campus or community events that we can leverage as a ministry? And one of the things that, you know, if you see, if there is a real opportunity, I would say if you have an opportunity and a strength and those two can go together, that's where you could really start to see breakthrough. And so what are the opportunities for breakthrough that you think that we could uncover? You think, man, if we just started this, that, man, this would take off. And so you can do this by yourself if it's just you. If you already have a couple people that are helping you, it'd be really cool if you could have everyone kind of answer these questions, like say, hey, write down two or three things, each of these questions on your own. And then you come back together, and what we've done is we put like those, you know, those big, large post-it notes, put four of them on a wall with these questions on top, and then you just go one by one to each person, and you write down all the answers for each question that everybody put. Well, what you'll begin to notice is that you'll see some commonalities in these. And honestly, I think if you start to see commonalities in some of these, that's probably an area that the Spirit is working. You know, if you got students that are talking about, hey, we think there's a, if you got three or four people or whatever, or, you know, if it's not that, but that are talking about the same breakthrough, let's look into that. Because this could be a real opportunity for us to, really experience some breakthroughs. So I always say that that's a great way for you to, one, it helps you see how other people view your ministry or your leaders, if you have some at this point. If you don't, if it's just you, it just helps you kind of assess where you're at. But then it also gives you some clear, tangible things to start working on to make your ministry better, to reach students. And then usually what I'll say is, you know, based on the kind of data that you get with this, again, this is determining reality. So this is kind of a mirror. We're going to look at ourselves in the mirror here. And then the next thing is this, to create your future. You know, some of you are familiar with Will Mancini. He does like the 414 thing. But essentially I say, you know, college ministry, the great thing about college ministry is, you know, it's transient. The bad thing about college ministry is transient. So, you know, if something doesn't work, you always got next year, you know, kind of thing. So I always say like, okay, set a one-year goal. Set a one-year goal and think about this in terms of like, and if you have a team, do this with a couple of people, even if it's like a friend or somebody else, but create like what you want to see happen in this ministry in a year. And think about something that gets you excited. Think about something that would get somebody else excited. Don't think about it merely in just quantitative terms, but think about it in qualitative terms. Don't just be like, hey, we want to see 10 students saved. Okay, that's great. You can put that in there. But we also want to see like healthy disciples, or we want to see something like that. We want to see missional students, something that puts quality on something, so you know that what you're investing in, they're actually becoming as a person. You really want to see that. So think about something that focuses attention, something that reveals progress. And then also it, because what a vision does, I know we think about that as like a big organizational thing, but what a vision does too is it gets everybody on board with the same thing. And so if you can get everybody on board with the same thing, you can really go in the right direction, and it kind of cuts through the complexity. And then the next thing is 30-day goals. Just set out like, hey, these are every 30 days. These are the things. I know this is more of just like a, not necessarily a ministry thing. It's more just of like a growth thing. But like set 30-day goals of how we're going to accomplish this vision in whatever school year it is. Like, what are we going to do in these next 30 days? Okay, what are we going to do in those 30 days after that? Okay, what about 30 days after that? And you'll just kind of keep going through that to essentially create your future. And then the last thing is this, is develop a discipleship pathway. Develop a discipleship pathway. So Mac Lake designed this. Salt Company was a big, really involved in kind of getting this going. But I'm always kind of surprised. In some ways, I'm not surprised. But sometimes we don't even know where we're taking students. We don't even know where we're trying to get them to. We're just kind of hoping that they'll come to worship, they'll come to a small group, and maybe go on a mission trip. And to be honest, I just think that's too short of a... I mean, praise God for that. But that's too short of a goal for a student. And what a discipleship pathway does is it helps gives you real tangible next steps for students. And we know that the discipleship is not just up like this. It's, you know, it does this. We get that. But it at least allows you to know, hey, where am I trying to get a student to? So if I have a lost person or if I have a new freshman and I want them to get them to lead themselves spiritually, what are these drivers? I call them drivers. What are these things that they need to go through or experience, programs or processes that's going to help them lead themselves spiritually? So this may be, well, let me show you the three things here. So you have levels of leadership, leading self, leading others, leaders, that kind of thing. How do you know someone gets to this level of leadership? Well, you name characters and competencies so you know, okay, hey, that person is exhibiting everything we want to see out of this type of leader. And then the third thing, what are the two or three drivers that's literally driving them to this place of leadership? And like Mark Vance says, he says the students, they live in circles, but leaders live in the arrows. We're always the one that are shepherding students towards their development and their growth in Christ. And so we have to figure out where are we moving those students to. So let's say you have a loss. Someone who's lost.
So, for instance, there's Redeemer in Lubbock, Texas Tech University. They always do at the very beginning of the year, they take, they do like a big party in the park, and it's essentially like kind of a mission trip to campus kind of thing. But it's a way that they attract lost people to them. So that's like one of the very first things, like if they're going to interact, is they do like go hand out flyers. They send out all their student leaders to go hand that out. They come out, they get contact information. That's step one. Okay, well, after you get a student's contact information, what's step two? You get what I'm saying here. So we got to figure out how we're doing that. So if you got someone that's, you know, that they're now leading themselves, how do we get them to where they're leading others? What are the two or three things that we need to give them to help get them to that place of leadership? So we got to think more systemically about the way that we're developing, and in some ways, quit just kind of hoping they'll grow. You know, like let's actually create something that's. And you don't have to have all of this built out, but you just got to have an idea, you know, of where you're trying to take students to, so they develop. So. All right. Last thing, and then we can just do some kind of Q&A type stuff. The final tips is I would always say start small. Don't feel like you have to go big. Don't feel like you got to have a big attractional model of ministry. Just start small, invest in a few, go slow. And I always say, remember, this is only version 1.0. Too many times people quit because 1.0 didn't work out. Version 1.0 like never works out in anything. It always has to be updated. So just realize that this is not your first version of ministry. You're going to run it. You're going to figure out what you need to fix, what you need to do better, what you need to add, what you need to take away, and then just keep tweaking on it and keep tweaking on it. And so that's kind of the overview of a framework of local church college ministry. And by the way, like the thing I like about the pipeline is you can pop this into any ministry, whether it's you're in a big 4-year, you're in a 2-year, your campus-based model, because we're always trying to develop people, right? But the way we're getting people there is going to be different. And so just kind of take that for, you know, and realize that, hey, you can kind of adapt that for whatever you like. All right. Any thoughts, any questions about any of that?
Is in the vein of college ministry. We're just in a spot where we love college students.
Yeah.
We've always been around college towns now.
Yeah.
We got an assignment. We're 35 minutes from WKU. So
we're not
in Bowling Green.
Yeah.
We had a group of college students come last year after I've been at this church for a week.
Yeah.
And they're still talking about it.
Really?
Still just so impacted.
Yeah.
And just missing that in the life of our church and
yeah.
just trying to figure out what's our role.
Yeah.
You know, at best we got kind of a satellite campus at WKU with a unique group of students, not very many.
Yeah.
You know, and you got this bigger school down the road just trying to figure out, you know, what if you are not in a college town?
Yeah.
You don't have college students, but you still love them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of the unique challenge.
And you have college students at your church?
We're just set to graduate a big group of seniors that will be college students.
Okay.
So the kind of the thought is, man, if we were to do something more formal,
yeah,
we just got a good group.
Yeah.
So we don't.
So you're talking about like planning a group like at the campus they're going to?
Yeah, that's some of the thought. Is like,
yeah.
Could we be a part of something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot to ask of relief. I mean, everybody goes from our town to that town to do their shopping. To ask that town to come to us would be quite presumptuous, it would seem like. And so, yeah, could this be the start of potentially seeing something
build
get planted?
Build a grocery store with a college ministry.
Yeah.
There you go, man. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
not
sure what that looks like. Probably a different discussion. But, yeah, I guess how does a more quote rural church be a part of college ministry?
Yeah. You know, I wonder if you know, always if you're in like more of a rural I mean, you're probably creating ministry. I mean, unless, you know, I wonder if you create that where it's like based on location, like essentially you have a small group. If it, 'cause if they're not in your town, you just do a small group in another, you know, city or something like that. And then you did like, I mean, do you feel like you have some, well, one, you're probably going to have those students come back during summer, I would imagine. So like you're going to get like 2 months of college ministry in the summer, like a week or two here at Thanksgiving, Christmas. But yeah, I don't know. And I think I have to dive into that a little bit more with you on just the dynamic of where your students are and their kind of their flow. And
we're sending them a time, you know, they've been, the church is planned. And I think this is, again, coming from the North, but the Baptist never made it up there originally. From Iowa. So BCMs, BS, like that. Isn't a thing, but in the South, you know, this is how the rural churches have been able to partner with the BCMs, and but yeah, Tommy, you know, we've, a number of our students have gone there at KU and participated, and we've gotten back as summer interns or something like that.
Yeah,
just recognizing that our church is really missing out on the day to day from having college students.
Yeah.
And sending them away, potentially never getting them back or never getting to come alongside them. And so wanting, like, what your heart is, like, how does a local church not outsource this but continue to participate when you're 35 minutes away?
But there, you know, we talked about before, the branch campuses, there's some two smaller branch campuses in Glasgow for... There's a WKU branch. It's gotten, it was pretty big. It's gotten smaller. And there's a KCTC, Kentucky Community Technical College, Sky branch, Southern Kentucky branch, that is at least worth us researching more.
Yeah, and that's where, like, our students, I think they're loving kind of what God's doing in the life of our church. And so of the eight seniors that were graduating, eight of eight are wanting to stick around. To be part of the church, and it's like, man, I don't want to squander the opportunity at these branch campuses.
Oh yeah,
choosing to attend,
yeah,
to throw out a little bit bigger net, but it's different than anything.
Like, yeah,
from a salt company model.
Yeah,
so you just walk on campus.
Yeah.
It's entirely different world.
Yeah. So how far are all these students going to one school? Or are they going?
No, I think eight students going to six different schools.
Oh, okay. And they're all drivable back to Glasgow?
Some are doing online.
Some, okay.
Again, I don't want to come here.
Gotcha.
But yeah. I think I would love to to figure out what that would look like to do that. But I think that's just a bigger question. How does rural churches participate in college ministry?
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for Tommy, just shout out, like, for how Tommy's helping us. We had our guy go and just be able to ask if anybody wanted a summer intern at one of those rural churches.
Yeah.
And an experience that we can afford them.
Yeah.
Church has a little parsonage and everything where we
can
set up and invest in them. And so.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Wow. Yeah, I'd be curious to talk to you more about that.
Well, the other thing is, dynamics. Because I look forward to talking more. Let's just hear your heartbeat for it. But anybody else in that situation, the BCMs would love to have the partnership and need it. There's all kinds of needs, ways we can get you to campus, your folks to campus for prayer walking and this sort of things, and way we can get students over there for things. So let's put our heads together.
Cool.
Yeah, it's just such a blessing. I wish there were more, you know, pastors in this context.
Oh, because
we had a student that came on this college trip last year, was a college ministry that I was a part of, and they're like, we want to come see you, you're a new pastor in your first week, and she just got up there and shared how God had saved her a month before, and it just altered the culture of the church, where it clarified the direction we went ahead with a level of authenticity, vibrancy. I mean, we weren't playing church, and this girl giving her testimony in front of the church, so such a blessing, and man, churches miss out when they don't have
There is. It does change, like, the when you do have college students involved and there's that fresh faith. I mean, that does change the whole dynamic of a church. It's
and
huge.
The ability to be on mission.
Yeah.
And send them short-term trips and all that.
Yeah. Stuff. Yeah. Yeah. No, because even I think about my home church. You look at all the people that we have sent on mission in summer in different places, I mean, it's all college students for the most part. Yeah, I mean, probably 80%. So, no. Cool. Any other thoughts or questions? Anybody else?
Well, just one other note on that.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've been filling in 30 minutes away in Scottsville. And we've had a group come over for a basketball game, church outing at a basketball game, church members coming over for community music stuff. But what, you know, man, they can get connected to that campus ministry too. So they're interested in the university. They don't realize there's a chance to help collegiate ministers.
Cool. Love that. Sweet. Anybody else?
Can I get a copy of your slides?
Yeah, yeah.
Step out for a minute.
Emails if you want to see. Okay, yeah. I'll put it in a Google Drive and give Tommy the link.
Cool.
Yeah. Happy to give it away. Awesome. Well, let me pray for us and we'll jump out of here. Man, Father, we love you. Thank you for your kindness to us. Lord, thank you just for everyone in this room and who's investing their life into students and is thinking about it. And Lord, I think I'm preaching to the choir here, but we know it's a very strategic mission field that can change the spiritual landscape of their campuses, of our nation, of the world. And so, Lord, would you give us the wisdom to know what to do and where to go and where to invest and give us wisdom on our pace, give us wisdom on all of that, Father, so that we can better minister to college students and mobilize them to impact the world. So, Lord, we love you, and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.